I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Come on down to the TMS Emporium, where we got amazing patrons like Jim Apple, Sanjay Iyer, and P. Coddle. They simply signed up at patreon.com/TMS, and so can you! Coming up on the morning stream, Living La Vida Dog Poop.
Nether piercings in the wind.
Back to the uterus with you, Jimmy.
We're going to need a bigger head.
Lifting and whiffing.
I pick up the poo, and you should too.
What you drinking? What you playing?
Does buttered toast fall face down because I like really wanted to know?
The Bradley Cooper you ordered on Wish.
No show tomorrow.
Shaking the poo sausage.
An orphan farm boy kisses his sister.
Flippity ibbit.
Call of Duty, Merlot Warfare.
It's not a trap. With Amy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The pizza box is recyclable, the crust is compostable, ew, and the cheese. Don't get me started on the cheese.
Well, let's fire up those stompers and make some dirty.
The Morning Stream. I live, I love, I slay, and I am content.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is The Morning Stream for the 2nd of April, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Nibbitt.
Hello. Hello, and welcome to Tuesday.
That's right. I'm glad it's not the first anymore. F that day. That sucked.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything good. Nothing. Nothing funny. Nothing made me laugh. Nothing was creative. April Fool's Day was stupid this year. Stupid.
And I think you even tweeted, get ready to hear old people complain about it for 24 hours.
Yep. So. And here we are. I'm not even full 24 hours later, and I'm still complaining about it. I hate it. It was dumb. It was all, so yeah. All the attempts that I saw were sad. They were all sad.
Yeah, dude. There was nothing. There was nothing that made me say, okay, now that one's pretty darn clever. Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. There's usually one,
thing. Screen Crush posted a video about how Madam Web saved Marvel, MCU.
Oh,
and
wow.
The headline made me laugh, but I saw it this morning, and so I was like, oh, well, I'm not going to watch that because I know it's a joke. Why would I bother?
Well, Marvel-related, I saw one that said Deadpool 3 was getting delayed till November because Disney wanted to cut down on some of the adult content in it. And that was a fake story.
Yeah.
But it was presented in a way that just looked like stuff I see every day on social media. Yeah. So I was like, oh, well. Now, and sure enough, most of the comments are completely oblivious to the day that it is. And they're just like, I can't believe Marvel's going to try to sanitize the woke culture bit. I'm like, you guys, are you as thin as paper? What is everybody doing? So that day, freaking F that day. It's a stupid day.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to be here doing this show on a Tuesday that is not the first. This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the story about Christopher Cross? What happened? Chris Cross passed away?
No, Chris Cross, not Christopher Cross, but Chris Cross of the band Ultravox. I think he was also a member of, what was the band before Ultravox that Midyear was part of? It was, their hit was Fade to Gray, and their name was, I think, began with a V. Not the Voidoids. Anyway, Chris Cross, the musician, not the Chris Cross that couldn't put their pants on the right way and sang about jumping.
Yeah, and not Christopher Visage. Cross, who's Thank sailing you, away. Yeah, no sailing away Christopher Cross either, for the record.
Yeah, TRPW was Chris Cross in Visage as well. I think that might be also who I'm thinking of.
So he died on the 25th. That's a bummer. That's not great.
Yeah,
wasn't that old. Let's see here.
Yeah.
He was only, I guess 71's up there, but still.
That's up there. Yeah.
Still, you know. Well, anyway, we got stuff.
Yeah.
We got to get going on this. I took the dog for a walk yesterday and I had a thing happen. I told everybody about it on the Monday show last night, but I'm going to reiterate here because this is perfect for the TMS audience and
they'll
commiserate because I've had a lot of weird dog walk moments. And, you know, as the weather starts to warm up, there'll probably be more, but I'm out walking the dog and there's this section of my walk I take pretty often where the sidewalk I'm going on runs parallel to a huge soccer park thing that's connected to a school, an elementary school.
Okay.
Nobody's over there. There's a couple of dogs and their owners chasing balls and stuff, but it's mostly just me alone. And I'm driving, or I'm walking rather, on this thing with the dog, wearing a big bright, that big red University of Utah thing I wore yesterday, the hoodie.
Yes.
Yeah. Wearing that, so super bright, everybody can see me. There's no way you're not going to see me. And I'm walking around with the dog, and the dog poops outside of what. So across the street, she poops across the street where I am, normal place and everything. But across the street directly is a house facing the park. And at the house is a lady standing on the porch with her hands on her hips.
Okay.
Which, you know, is enough body language for me to go, what the frick are you doing?
Yeah.
But anyway, she's playing, Ricky Martin music. That's what was playing.
Okay, really? Living La Vida Loca, basically?
It was something, not that song, but something with, I could tell it was him, and it was just some kind of real poppy, Central America salsa.
Latin-influenced pop song, sure.
Absolutely, and it was blaring. I don't know what she was playing this on, but it was blaring out. And she's standing there with her hands on her hips and her legs kind of wide, and dog poops, and I'm like, all right, get out the bag. Because I'm a responsible dog walker. I pick up my dog's poo. All right, everybody?
Always.
You should, too.
Yes.
I see these little poos left. I know someone's not picking them up, but it ain't me.
Yeah.
So I reach down, and maybe she's just had enough of this with people who don't pick it up. But I picked it up and got in the bag, and I wrapped it around and made a little knot, airtight little knot. And I'm getting ready to walk away, and she says, I can see you, you know. And I went... I didn't know what to say. In my head, I want to go, oh, can you? Like, here, can you see this bag of poo I'm throwing at you at high velocity?
I can see you, too.
Yeah, I can see you, too.
I wonder if she, did she look away while you were, you know, putting the poop in the bag? It's really funny.
I don't know. I should have held up the bag and, like, shook it, you know, like this. What does that remind me of?
Exactly.
That's like from a movie. What's that from? Where he goes like this. What is that
Well, I'm thinking of... the sausage in Game of Thrones.
That's it.
And,
that's it. That's totally
is
it.
That what it is? Yeah.
Yeah. Where Ramsay Bolton does that thing with the dog.
Right. With Greyjoy's. Yeah.
Greyjoy's adopted idiot boy. we did that and I walked away and I didn't say anything, but then it bugged me the whole rest of the walk, of course, because I'm trying to understand what people are doing. I regret not just turning around going, something like you just said, like, oh, I can see you too. Or,
yeah, exactly. Like, okay.
Something like that. I should have said something.
Did you see me pick the poop up and put in the bag?
Would you like
it? Live in La Vida Loca? Bailamos.
And then she's kind of rocking on her feet, I also noticed. So hands on her hips, doing this.
Really?
Just looking like she wants a fight, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to give her a fight, but she wanted one.
Golly, yeah. It's like that. First thing that came to my mind is I could see you too. And I would have said that. I don't know if it would have been the right thing, but you know, it's one of those where I think of 100 things that would have been funnier to say after.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything other than me just walking. I blew that. That was my fault.
You should pull down your pants and said, oh, really? Watch this and pull down your own pants and start pooping.
Exactly. Now, if I was drunk, maybe I'd have done something else like this listener who called us drunk. Would you like to hear a drunk call?
Oh, love our drunk call. Drunk dials. Yep.
It's not a problem if you do it, but here it is. If I can find it, where'd it go? Oh, it's down here. Here we go.
Whoa, dude, you said it was okay if I called in stoned or drunk. I'm drunk, and I just listened to TMS. I'm playing video games. Bye.
That's it. That's all we get.
Totally fine. Listen, you are at home playing video games, drunk. Nothing at all wrong with that, as long as you're not calling us. I'm by the wheel right now. I just had a little bit too much to drink, thought I'd call TMS.
I wouldn't mind knowing what he was playing. That'd be fun to know. You know.
I wouldn't mind knowing what he was drinking.
Yeah. What are you drinking? And then what do you pair with that? What game do you pair with your drink?
Right. Exactly. Yes.
How do you, and do you do well? Do you just button mash or is it a nightmare? Do you start over? What kind of game is it? I really would like That's to right. know. So next time you call in drunk, just a little more data, a little more info. That's all we're asking for.
Yeah. Give us more data.
Yeah.
What you drink and what you're playing.
That's right.
Do you feel like the two go together? Are you playing, you're drinking Red Bulls and vodka and playing Animal Crossing? Because I don't think those two go together. I think,
No, don't do that. That seems like a really bad, bad idea.
A little wine and Call of Duty? No, not quite. No. Mm,
a nice Merlot goes with Call of Duty Warzone 2.0. Is that how we do it?
That's right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you can call in sober and say dumb stuff as well, Cyrenex. That's not a problem. Sober, you drunk, we don't care. Like this one, we got another call where they're just mad and they wanted to let us know, not about us, not us they're mad at. They're mad at technology, right. And so let's let her have her say.
Why won't my phone let me email you? Love the show, though.
I don't know. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm not your tech support. Isn't it
funny? It's the tech support person in me. I did tech support for so many years for that damn software company, the newspaper software company. So my first thing is, oh, really? Tell me, are you getting an error message? What's happening? Is it bouncing back? Maybe you have the wrong email address.
And
that's the first thing.
Oh, I love that. Oh, is it someone in our chat?
La Lichi Peach.
Oh, yes. No way. That was you? Well, now
getting a bounce back message or were you getting an error? Were you? Oh, he figured it out. Okay, good. Okay. All right, cool.
I'd be very curious what
Turn
happened.
Turn it off
there.
And on again.
Reboot it. Sometimes rebooting it does it. It's fine. But I'm going to keep this forever.
Why won't my phone let me email you?
I'm keep that forever. Like when we do like an email section, I should play that every time.
Yeah, actually, that's perfect for let's start listening to some emails, caller emails.
Yeah, so Lalicha Peach, well done. And also, I assume we got an email from you. Maybe I should try to find that real quick just for funsies.
You should see it. Yeah.
What is it? It's signed by Lalicha Peach.
Lalichi.
I don't see it. I assume I'm looking for a girl name. I don't see it. All right. Well, all right. Whatever it is, I'm sure it's there, and I'm very excited to explore further. Brian, you went and saw the mathematical question of the year, the very successful already, the King Kong times Godzilla. What is the answer to the quiz question?
Kong times Godzilla, the outrageous fortune.
Perfect.
Kingdom, something. .com. I can't remember what the damn subtitle is. All right, so you've got this world, you've got this nice little balanced world, and on one side you've got Godzilla X Kong or whatever, I can't even remember what order it is in the movie, and then the other side you've got Godzilla minus one, and there's balance, right? One has to be really good and the other one has to not be quite as good. No, seriously, it was like as soon as the credits start rolling, I looked over at Uncle George and said, you know, that was just silly, loud, dumb fun.
A good time at the theater, which is all they promised, and I think that's all I want out of it.
Exactly. That's all I was looking for out of it, and that's exactly what I got. Without giving any spoilers, the movie begins with King Kong running around loose in the Hollow Earth area. Mm-hmm. If you've seen the previous movies or Monarch.
Sure.
Monarch is so good. If you've not watched Monarch, you should watch it, but you don't need to have watched it for this thing to appreciate it.
I am definitely going to watch that.
Yeah. And he bites down on a lizard and he goes, oh! And then they show his tooth and he's got like a toothache. And so he takes a portal back up to Earth, the outside of Earth, and they sedate him and they extract and replace his tooth.
Is this true? Is this what you're saying? What you're saying is true.
This is what the movie begins with. And if that doesn't kind of give you an idea of the kind of movie you're about to see.
So literally it starts with King Kong's going in for a dental visit.
Going in for a dental visit. Exactly.
Wow. I hope he has insurance.
Another thing I said to George, I said, well, I guess they're deciding that they kind of want a Guardians of the Galaxy. They want their Guardians of the Galaxy franchise because there's a lot more humor in this than there have been in previous Godzillaverse movies. B, there's a lot of 70s music. Like, you know, the Badfinger song
is used prominently when Kong and Godzilla are running around, and someone goes, "I remember finding out about you."
Oh my gosh, dude!
You know that one?
Yeah,
from the '70s.
That's great.
it's just like this is what it's come to, huh?
Yeah.
And I'd say somebody was, we were talking about how, you know, there were no shared characters between Monarch and this movie, and I made the joke, well, Godzilla, I think, is probably a shared character. But, and then they said something like, yeah, but he's barely in it. It's kind of, the movie definitely focuses more on Kong. It is a 70-30 Kong.
Oh, really?
Godzilla movie.
That surprises me. I thought the whole idea was, because you had Skull Island, which was all Kong-y. Then you had the first Godzilla one that we're trying to slide in for film sack. The Gareth Edwards one. That one was very Godzilla, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah,
I thought it would be equal billing here. In fact, it even says Godzilla X Kong. Godzilla got the top billing.
Yeah, no, it's apparently Godzilla is the remainder, and Kong is the divisor, and the product of the three sides is less than the hypotenuse of the Mothra.
Nice. So the math is complete, really, and that's what we went for.
The
math is
complete. Go in with low expectations, and it'll be a lot of fun. And you know, it's not as deep of a thinker as like Late Night with the Devil, which really wasn't as much of a thinker as just a much more serious movie. If you go in, this is a popcorn film. Get a bowl of popcorn, get your soda, and enjoy it.
We like the Dan Stevens. Is he good in there?
He's great.
Yeah.
Dan Stevens in there doing his best Bradley Cooper, basically. Mm. Like he's got the Bradley Cooper hair, and he's not broody like he was as Legion. He's like Australian accent. He's actually the one who completes the dental work. Yeah, well, we extracted the tooth and I put a new one in there that's like made with the same polymer resin that we used for the shielding on the blah blah blah.
Yeah, that's not a filling. This is a filling, he says.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm looking at the Rotten Tomatoes thing. I was talking to somebody on Twitter yesterday, and they made a point that really resonated with me. Because whenever I see a big disparity between audience and reviewers, I'm usually like, well, why is that? And I kind of want to dig in.
What are the score? What are the two scores?
Currently, reviewers at 54 and audience at 92. So this guy says...
Wow!
Okay. I know, it's a huge difference. And this guy says... He says, just because you can enjoy a bad movie doesn't change the fact that it's a bad movie. And I said, well, do you mean that? What do you mean? He goes, no, I don't mean it in a negative way. His point is we need to start being okay just liking shit for its very basic primal reasons. We don't have to have a big, artistic take on it. And so whenever I see, I'm just going to see these differences differently in my head now. I'll see 50% reviewer, 90% audience and go, oh, well, this may not, be from a technical or artistic standpoint a great movie, but clearly people are having a ball there. So
that's a really good way of looking at it, because I'm sure if you're still on the site, pull up Zone of Interest and see what, because I would say that that's a good movie that's not enjoyable.
Yeah, Zone of Interest.
And I would say it's probably got a higher critic score and a lower audience score if it's got a disparity.
93 critical, 78 audience, so a little lower, but still pretty high.
So good movie, not as enjoyable as Godzilla Kong.
Yeah, dark business in there,
Yes, exactly.
Here, let me skip past that. I'm trying to see another example of like a new thing. Like how bad?
I mean, it's in the trailer, but they put a freaking metallic boxing glove, a big old metal boxing glove on King Kong in this thing. I mean, how,
Really? Who makes it? People make it and then put it on there?
Yes. Our friend, the Bradley Cooper you ordered on Wish, puts it, lowers it on on Kong's wrist using a giant helicopter.
Oh my Lord.
And,
that's crazy. So
it was intended for Mecha Kong or something like that. Well, we still have the glove. Oh, we could put that on King Kong. All right, let's do that, because something happens.
Does Godzilla shoot Barbies out of its mouth because of all the pink that's got going on now?
There's a whole reason he's pink. And
really?
Yeah.
Am I gonna hate why? I'm gonna hate why.
No, I don't think you'll hate why. It's just a funny, like, you want me to say it? All right, folks, if you care about the spoilers,
if you care about why he is pink,
yes,
pause right, us for a moment.
I'm gonna set a timer on my, hold on, I'm gonna wrap this in 60 seconds.
I love right? this. Here this is a great way to do stuff because people can, they have the skip ahead by 60 button on their players.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly what I'm doing. All right, so.
And everyone at home, I'll give you a hand up when we start and when we stop. Yeah, all right.
Scott will do a hand job when it's time you can listen again.
That's right.
Okay, starting the timer. Okay.
Ready, so, go.
Godzilla shoots pink, because normally he shoots kind of a light blue, like a whitish light blue for his radiation. He absorbs it. Yep. It's for some reason that radiation is light blue. There's another kaiju in the ocean. Can't remember which one it is, but it's a pink dragon and has his own pink radiation that he floats around in. And Godzilla's like, oh, I need some of that. And so he swims down to the bottom of the ocean where this other kaiju is. Tiamat, thank you, TV's Travis. And he swims down to the bottom of the ocean and then he beats that dragon thing. And then he goes, and he inhales all the pink radiation from that, which then combines with the light blue radiation that he's got in.
We should all be 100% okay with this because that's how the old movies were shitty, stupid like that too. It's fine.
Yes, exactly. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There you go. There's
you can come one. Back, everybody. Come back. Yeah. That was real dumb.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Trust me, you saved yourself from hearing a very dumb thing that you will now go see. And
you got to still go see the movie because it's funny.
I'm going to go. I think I'm going to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just looks like good time.
This is one you can absolutely see on your 4K TV. Turn the lights down, crank the sound way up, and just sit back and enjoy it.
I think Dune Part 2 hits digital buy now status today.
Oh, really? Cool. Are you going to buy? Are you going to own this one? Or are you just
hell
wait
yeah.
Till it's,
yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Release date. Here we go. You guys can get it today. Oh, wait. Yeah, April 2nd. It was posted on the 1st. Was that not true? Hold on.
Oh, they gotcha.
It might still happen. Oh,
that
here it
like
is.
A really weird. That's a really weird April Fool's joke to do.
It is weird because they didn't wrap it in any kind of joke, which is my problem with that sort of thing. Okay, it looks like it's the 15th. I don't know who had the 2nd. I read that weird, but the 15th. So anyway, it'll be available 4K digital. I'm buying it. Then I'll have both parts. I can sit down and just binge that shit back to front, front to back, over and over until I'm dead. Or at least until
Furiosa comes out.
That's right.
They showed a new trailer for Furiosa that I hadn't seen before. I'm sure it's the one that's now on YouTube and stuff, but it's
trailer number 2.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, trailer number 2.
The new one's good. It is shows a little bit more stuff going on and you get a little better look at the green place. And you know, there's there's what's his Chris Hemsworth yelling, "Ready, steady, go!" as he jumps into the camera. I can't wait to meet his character. He is going to be the biggest freak of the year, and I can't freaking wait.
Lady and gentlemen.
Lady and gentlemen. Start your engines. I cannot see it soon enough. All right. Let's do some.
We can't wait to hear about it. Oh, that's
all I'm going to talk about probably for a while. Because, if you're looking at taking let's say you want to take a week break from TMS, the time to do it would be like May 25th or whatever it is. And that whole week is just going to be a mess.
I know. I'm going to take a break from TMS for a week. That week.
At least if it's shit, then we're in trouble. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, God, I know. I can't even imagine what'll happen.
The fear is you go from. Let's go back in time. You go from Road Warrior to Thunderdome. And while there's plenty to like about Thunderdome, there's lots to not like about Thunderdome. Mm-hmm. So can they go from Fury Road to Furiosa without making that slip?
Because I feel like it's got the studios, I think, were really heavily involved managing Dude's vision in making Thunderdome.
Right.
George Miller's vision and changing things up. Whereas it feels like he still has all the creative control for Furiosa. So I think it's going to be more like Fury Road.
Probably. I also, when they were making Thunderdome, his best friend slash co-writer, writing partner passed away. And so he got real depressed and didn't really want to finish it. And there was a whole story behind the scenes there. And that's why after that one, he just went on to make a bunch of kids stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now he's back with a passion. So we're probably fine. Brian's right. We're fine. Everything's fine. Everyone, don't worry. Okay. We got like a month and a half and then we'll find out ourselves. About 2 months.
Yep.
All right. That is it for that. Let's do some news right now. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
Orphan farm boy kisses sister while deadbeat dad tries to get him to join the family business.
Yes, any guesses?
That one I knew right off of Orphan Farm Boy. I'm going to go to Tashi Station and get some power converters.
Well done. I was hoping it would be so obvious that you... would question it and go, well, that's too easy, and then you'd think of something else. But yeah, you're right, Star Wars.
I can't tell if it's the original trilogy or the newest trilogy.
Farm Boy.
And we were got all caught up in that discussion about Furiosa. Did you already mention that there's no show tomorrow?
No, I forgot to mention it. I'm glad you said it. We said it yesterday, pro show, but we didn't say it during the main show, so I want to do it again. Oh, that's why I thought we already did, because we just talked this morning about it. Anyway,
yeah,
no show tomorrow. I have a thing I got to go do, and I'll be gone all morning. So I'm not going to be here. That means no show. That means that you get your Wednesday off. It probably means Brian can do some stuff that he normally wouldn't have time for because we don't have a show. So watch for possible streams of you working on a thing. He'll let you know. Watch for all that. I'll be back later for DTNS, so I won't be gone all day. But no show tomorrow. All right? Back Thursday. We're here today, obviously. And then tomorrow...
everything normal except for the Thursday.
Yeah,
Wednesday.
I don't know why I have to go to such. I'm going to such lengths to describe such an easy thing.
I know. Yeah, no show tomorrow. That's it.
You know what it is? We just don't like not doing shows. So when we don't, I feel like I have to over-explain it because I hate it. I hate not doing
it. It's so true. Totally true.
All right, let's get to the news here. Scientists are trying to answer one of these age-old questions. It's been assumed for a long time, and some people assume there's data for this, and there is some, that if you flip a coin often enough, you will always end up around 50-50. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no real advantage to heads versus tails or tails versus heads, even though I think a lot of people are partial to heads for really no good reason. It's like a weird bias in our heads about...
It is kind of weird, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if you say, hey, heads or tails, I'll bet more people... That should be the science, is... what percentage of people say heads by default?
Yeah, and I'll bet it's high percentage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know what. They didn't do that here. But they did toss 350,757 coins, not just like quarters here in the U.S., coins from all over the world.
Really? Okay. Because,
you want to make sure we're not biased toward one coin or another. The coin is often used in these kinds of situations, with the theory being there's an equal chance that it will land on heads as there is it'll land on tails. And it turns out that's not actually true, and it's not due to a case of heads I win, tails you lose, which, again, is a phrase you hear, and I think people are biased toward heads. Anyway, the revelation comes from a pre-registered study which recorded the results of these coins being tossed and suggested that there is, in fact, a tiny bias involved in the flipping of any coin. Study involved 48 people who flipped all 350,000 plus coins from 46 currencies. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's like all the currencies.
I mean, did they do... I mean, if you think about it, all right, we've got, what, five potential... I guess if you count, like, silver dollars and half dollars, you've got penny, nickel, dime, quarter... half dollar, silver dollar.
Right.
And then you could throw Susan B. Anthony dollars or those presidential coins.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Canadian potentially
coins.
Eight coins. Yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying from the U.S.
Oh,
so
just
you've got
US.
Potentially eight U.S. coins.
Right.
So 46 currencies. Yeah. I mean, you look at how many different currencies around the world and then multiply that times. There are 5, 6, 7 different kinds of coins.
Yeah, I assume everyone's got a roughly similar denomination sort of layout,
probably.
Right?
Probably.
Yeah. But yeah, like in Canadians, you don't count because you got holes in your shit, okay? So, Back up.
Your toonies and your loonies.
Yeah.
Your weird $2 coin. What?
The hole in the middle and the queen on there for some reason.
So I'd be so happy. And we've talked about this before. I think when really early on with the show, I would be so happy to just get rid of dollar bills and have dollar and $2 coins.
Yeah, that'd be great. But
actually, seriously, maybe we are really getting to a place where we don't need them. I've had the same three $5 bills and two $1 bills stuck here to the edge of my extra wallet for months without having to take anything out or pay for anything. I guess I've done tips, like dollar tips and stuff, where I put it in a jar at the boba place.
Right. I will do that. But in my case, I have the same 10 in my wallet since the cruise, which was in 2020. Wow. 2022? Yeah.
Jeez. So I think I'm changing direction mid-rant and saying, maybe we don't need dollar coins, $2 coins. I think we're getting pretty close to not needing money.
Yeah, maybe we don't need money anymore. Yeah, until the whole grid dies, and then we're all screwed and have nothing. We'll have to barter our bodies, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
To go out there and offer free services in exchange for whatever, how many eggs you have, whatever. That's how it's going to be.
That's right. And then you could just basically say, all right, which would you prefer, heads or tails?
Yeah, yeah. It's still 50-50. It says here, as it turns out, it's not true, but it's pretty close to true. It turned out the coins had a 50.8% chance of landing on the side that it started on.
That's interesting.
So a 0.8 chance. If you started on tails, let's say you had tails up and then you flipped it.
Yeah.
Overall, 0.8% is all the advantage that tails got. Or if it was heads, same advantage. Whatever face was up when you tossed it had a 0.8% advantage.
I have a question. I'm raising my hand. Yeah. Question.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. You in all the front. Right. You in the
scientists,
front row.
350,757 coin tosses. We don't think they did that by hand, correct? We think they probably used a machine, and a machine that probably both flipped the coin and scanned.
Well, in this case, it was 48 people who flipped all those coins. So it was people.
Oh, really? It was 48 people who did it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So they used real people to get the results. The idea being, I think, because I'm with you. Like when you do the toast, does buttered toast land face down thing?
Yeah.
You always see that test with a machine that would have to create some
that
consistency.
Would have the same. They would basically. Well, the reason I asked that is it's less about. Yeah, it's more about. Oh, well, if they're using machine to do the flipping, that machine is always going to put the same amount of pressure on the edge that it flips up, and so it's. If there is a chance that it's always going to land the same way, but so this is down to people flipping.
That's this is not only down to people, but that's the neat thing about all this is because the 0.8 says that the bias towards what's face up is a subtle one, but it's happening to the tune of 0.8%. In other words, you with that coin, you're not thinking of this, not conscious, but you flip it enough times over time that bias is going to show up in that 0.8%. You're kind of controlling that as the flipper.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not doing it every time.
And it's the same reason people can't pick up a pair of craps dice and, set them exactly the right way every time and then do muscle memory to like always flip it. People try. You watch them at the craps table and you will see them try.
Sure.
And maybe there are people on the internet who've been able to do it, but it's rare that happens.
How could you even do it?
It's just people who like they just like muscle memory. They, they just basically do that same thing, but there's so many variables about the way it hits the little, the spongy stuff on the back wall of the craps table and how it bounces forward. And that spongy thing has an angle to it. It's like little diamonds. So if it's the same one, the same way every time with the same amount of pressure, potentially, yes, you could recreate it. But even air movements, I mean, there's so many variables.
So many variables. I don't know how you would ever control it. Maybe it is an overtime slight percentage increase or something. But the interesting thing here is they call it, so they've given it a name, same side bias. And so here's the bottom line. Because the coin faces the same way more in the air, because it started in your hand, and will therefore be face up more often in the air, than if you had it on the bottom. That is that tiny bias toward the 0.8% that makes enough of a push to put it over 50. It's pretty crazy. I love this kind of crap. Love it.
Let me ask you this. Is it possible to, and this is might be a good Bobby thing, but if you look at a quarter, the amount of, and basically you look at it side view, right? Edge on.
Yeah.
Can you see, is it possible that there's enough? Obviously, this have to be the case for all 46 currencies for it to have this percentage 50.8. But if there's more protrusion, more of an extrusion of mass on one side, you know, Washington's head
is heavier,
or more of his head comes out than the eagle and its feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Would that influence the way, like if you look and say somebody's got a quarter and you say, oh, all right, they're flipping with the head up and I know the head's got more mass, so there's a better chance that it's going to land on heads.
Yeah, that's what, see, I would have thought, obviously there's probably a way to weight a coin the way they're like dice is different because you have three dimensions to work
with. Yeah, and dice, even craps dice, they have measured, and even with the paint and the divots and stuff like that, there is no advantage side on craps dice because it's a flat, there's no dimples, it is a flat deal.
It's just a flat cube.
Just a flat cube. I mean, you can't probably see the reflection. I'm trying to get just where you see the reflection of the
I can see how those are flat matte finish.
Yeah, there's no dimples filled with
That's goo. Interesting. That's part of the deal where they have to, that's a non-cheating thing, right? That's an actual thing.
Yeah, I think there is a dimple, but the way these are produced, yeah, like there's a divot, it's filled with stuff, but then it's polished so much on each side that there is not is no difference. You can't hold this in your hand, feel it, and figure out which side is which.
Yeah, microscopic at best.
Yes, exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Flush your holes is what I'm saying.
Flush and fill your holes.
Yeah, flush and fill your hole, then flush them, all right?
Before flusher.
Yeah. Now, the only thing I was going to say is, well, in this particular case, if you didn't have the face-up thing, because it was equal for tails and heads, even if you had a heavy coin or a heavy face coin on the heads part, I think even though this shows that bias, it's going to be, like for me, I'm always going to go heads default. I always do. And I don't know why. Why do I do that? Like if I was at a really important football game, Super Bowl, overtime, got to throw the new coin like they did this last time.
Yep.
And you said, Scott, you have to make a decision, heads or tails. I'm doing heads.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why I feel that strong about it. It's weird, right? Yeah,
it is really weird. It's just like, I don't know if there's some sort of, there's a positive connotation with heads and a negative connotation with tails or something.
Something.
Devils have tails, but angels have heads.
Oh, man. or the whole heads I win, tails you lose phrase. Maybe that stuck with us. I don't know. Heard that in movies and shit. Well, there's that. Let's do a quick story about a boat race. Oxford rowers. This is the over there in England there.
In the UK.
That's right. Oxford rowers criticize sewage levels in the River Thames.
Oh no.
The River Thames, as we knew it as kids, the River Thames.
Did we know that? Do we think that was it as kids?
When I thought it was Thames, it was because I watched Benny Hill and they had the production company would start and it would show it would say Thames production or something. And then somebody said, Scott, that's Thames. And I've never forgotten it since then. So, but when we were kids, what did we have from Europe? We had, we think there's a king, queen over there. What else? You got some funny comedies, Monty Python. We're done. That's it.
I had a parent and several grandparents that were from the UK saw it as anything else, but
you had an advantage there that I did not have. All right, they don't like it because they think that the water's full of poop. Revealed raw sewage in the Thames, sewage spills doubled last year to 3.6 million hours of spills compared to 1.7 million hours in 2022. million hours, 3.6 million hours of spills?
That's crazy.
Okay, within the spills are human waste, wet wipes, and sanitary products that can pose a serious risk to swimmers. I'm trying to see how you get the hours part.
It's just funny that they measure it in hours and not in gallons or...
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah.
Speaking to BBC, one of the rowers says, this morning I was throwing up and I wasn't sure if I was able to race. It would be a lot nicer if there wasn't so much poo in the water. That's listen. Well, anyway, good luck to them and their rowing and their sewage and their whatnot over there. We hope you guys are all going to be okay.
don't drink the water while you're rowing. You'll be fine.
That's right.
It's for rowing, not for drinking.
Mm-mm. Row, no drink. But also break. And when you have a break, you play a song, because on the other side, we'll have Amy. She's here to talk about reading and books, and excited to have her on. I also have a recommendation today as well for a book I'm reading. We'll get to all that in a moment. But first, song time with Brian.
Yeah, and this is, rebooted right before the show, and I did not relaunch Apple Mail where my notes are for the band I'm going to be talking about, but I have it now. Hey, how about a band called Messer, which I think is, are they German? I know Messer is a German word. I don't know what it means. Mm. But they are, this is some heavier stuff. You guys seem to like the mix and making sure that I throw some heavy stuff in each week for you guys. This is, they have a brand new album that is Deluxe Dolby Edition album with bonus tracks. That's not the name of it. It's just called Messer. The album is just called Messer.
Sure.
But they've re-released it. And this is the first single from the re-release. It's called Throw It Away. Here is Messer.
smask, smask, shmask, shmask, mask, shmask. That's it. Mask, shmask.
You flush your urine, whether or not you've also left feces.
And we've returned. Tell me more about Messer.
Yeah, that's the band Messer from the album Messer with a song called Messer. No, it's really called Throw It Away. But nice. Check them out. Brand new re-release of their original album released in 2018 with higher quality, new content, remastered, all that stuff.
Wasn't there a famous tennis star named, not Messer,
Messi? Well, there's the soccer Lionel Messier.
Messier, soccer though, Messier? Right? What am I thinking soccer, of for tennis? Yeah. There's somebody like a German. Maybe it's not Messer. I used to pick him when I'd play Virtua Tennis back in the day.
Oh, really? Interesting, yeah. Oh, German great. For knife. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you, Gretel and Dr. Calhoun.
Not Becker. Messier's hockey. Well, there is a Messier in hockey.
There's a Messier in hockey. What's the, who's the?
I can't think of it.
There is a soccer player, though, that's Messier, too, right?
I don't know. Probably. Feels like the... Messi? Is that his Messi. Name?
Messi.
Okay. That is who... That's right.
Messier
I guess
is hockey. Lionel Messi is the soccer player.
Oh. Who's the tennis thing? All right, chat. You have to help me out. Yeah, that's it for that song. And we're back now. We're going to get Amy in here and get a little reading done, you know? Nothing wrong reading.
Yeah. Yeah, a little read this. A little read this.
Yeah, yeah. You want to read? Good news. We got some recommendations for you. And we're going to start.
Oh, Agassi? Is that who you're thinking of?
Maybe. Oh, Roger Federer. That's who I'm thinking of. That's not even close to Messi or Messier. No. Or Messer. Yeah, it's Roger Federer. That's it. Or Federer.
Federer. Yeah.
I pick that guy every time. He just looked mean and like he would win.
Oh, he's a good pick.
Yeah, he's a solid pick.
Grand Slam winner, yeah.
That game was great.
One of the things that I enjoy also is reading.
Well, well, well. What do we have here? We have Amy Robinson, a.k.a. Red Fraggle 3, joining us as she does once a month to talk about book recommendations and why you might be wanting to read out there. Amy, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, friends.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Ooh, good.
Good. How are you?
How did
I'm pretty.
How'd your UT good. Your UT 99 play? I couldn't play. I was out. So how'd it go? Was it fun? Well,
you know, it seems like that was the case for almost all of us.
Oh,
I did the whole, you know, remember when you were in school or in college specifically and you'd be like, "All right, 15-minute rule."
Sure.
Professor doesn't show up, I'm leaving.
Mhm.
So I gave Dunaway about 20 minutes and he never showed up and nobody, like, it was like me and Sikreki, which, like, that's just not even fair.
No,
that's just ridiculous. That was a moment where you can't have slaughter without laughter.
Yeah.
So
this Sikreki person, she is unbelievable in this game. Like, to the point of, like, I swear I'm getting punked. I don't know what's happening. But either in 2K4 or 99, it doesn't matter how hard you play.
Yeah.
Sikreki is destroying everyone in her wake.
Yeah. I realized, yeah, that's why I didn't get a call. I was out lifting yesterday. That's why I didn't get the 4:30 call from Discord saying, "Hey, Brian, you coming to join us?" And
Hey, Brian. Oh, hi. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why. Well, yeah. I don't know what Dunaway had going on yesterday. I hope it was good stuff. But
yeah, you never know, but hopefully, yes. Well, anyway, it's good to have you here.
The kids were off from school, so I think they were doing something.
Oh, you know what? That's why he wasn't on the show. I forgot about that.
Yep.
He forgot to tell everyone, but that was the reason. Also, it is secrecy. We know that, chat, but we like to call her Sikreki because she wrecks us.
Yeah, Calhoun. Yeah, we know
what's up. We know how
we're
to do it.
We're doing it on purpose. We know.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing.
But we'll try. We'll try to get back in the seat on Friday with some 2K4, and we'll have some fun. Amy, let's talk about books.
You want to talk about books?
No. Okay. Well, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Okay,
go ahead.
So you are not the only one with a weird, like, random lady story this week. So
what do you got?
I had to go. I went to the piercing place because I wanted to get new stuff for my piercings, right? Yeah. I changed out my nose ring to be an actual ring instead of a stud and some other stuff. So we're there, and this lady walks in with a stroller, and the clerk says to her, "I'm sorry, ma'am, like, we can't have any children in the shop unless, you know, they're actually like over 16 and getting pierced themselves, and they, you know, whatever."
Right.
So she turns around to leave. I look, and she's wearing like one of those like white kind of linen dresses, you know, so it's like cotton, sure, but not like t-shirty cotton, like, you know, more of a tablecloth-y kind of cotton.
Okay.
And, you know, and she turns to take the stroller out, and the wind blows as she's full commando.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa. Okay, then.
Really?
That was a choice.
Well, maybe she's getting some the nether piercings or something.
I don't know. I didn't even think of that. But yeah, man, it was like the wind just blew and she was
just full like the commando. Director's cut of Marilyn Monroe and the Seven-Year Itch.
That's right. And no one's ever going to see that cut, unfortunately. Yeah. Wow.
Here's the unfortunate part of the story. That was the funny part. This is the unfortunate part.
All right.
I have since been called back. Like, my piercer comes, gets me. I was like, all right, let's go. Let's do this. So Chuck is still hanging out. And the lady goes, turns, and shows us all her moon, and then, you know, walks away, comes back in a couple minutes later without the baby, right? And we're like, okay, you know, maybe some, you know, her older kid is in the car or something like that, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Nope, she just put the kid in the car.
Really?
And went back in.
You can't do that. Like, you can't put the kid in there and leave him. That's not good.
Yeah, like Chuck told me that when I came back out. I was like, are you serious right now? And yeah.
How old was the baby, if you figured?
Mother of the year.
Yeah, mother of the year.
It was like sitting up. The kid was like sitting up in their stroller, you know, so probably I would guess like somewhere between like maybe 10 to 15 months,
okay,
somewhere around in there.
Maybe she shoved the baby back up from whence it came. I don't know. Came naked with a blanket on. Maybe that was the plan. You just like, you know, back to the uterus with you, Jimmy. You know what I mean?
Who knows? Yeah. But yeah, like Chuck told me that and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I hope they get her, because she was a walk-in also. Like, she didn't have an appointment. So I was like, all right, well, hopefully they work her in quickly, I guess. Yikes.
Wow, that's wild, dude. Well, I'm glad everybody came out of that okay. I hope the baby's all right, mainly, is what I'm hoping.
Me too.
Because that's pretty wild. All right, let's get to books. I'm going to make a quick recommendation of a book I'm reading right now that I'm just going to toss out because I'm not, I think I'm 48% through, according to the Kindle app. But it's a book called Red Dust. It's part of this Gods and Assassins book series. It's book one of that. Somebody recommended it to me and said, Scott, you want some like weird omnipotent space being meets old time Western dirty planet, you know, local issues, kind of Firefly kind of vibe. I said, well, I sure do. And they recommended Red Dust. And I can say, I think pretty comfortably, that halfway through, I would recommend this. It's really a really, really interesting take on some of its concepts. Some of it won't be new to some people, but a little side recommendation for people who are interested in those kinds of books or in that genre. You like science fiction, you like a little bit of space religion, and throw in a little Western action. Red Dust might be your jam. Frank Kennedy is the author, by the way. I should have mentioned that. All right.
Cool.
Amy, tell me, let's talk about what you want us to read this week. What do you got going?
Yes. So I have one clip, but two books. So I guess we'll go ahead and start with the one I brought the clip for first.
All right, here we go.
He wondered if it had maybe been the sheer weight of his wanting or his watching that strained his eyes till they saw what they'd wanted to see. He wondered if maybe that was how God worked now in the new world. Tired of interventionist pyrotechnics like burning bushes and locust plagues, maybe God now worked through the tired eyes of drunk Iranians in the American Midwest, through CVS handles of bourbon and little pink pills with G31 written on their side. Cyrus took a pull from the giant plastic Old Crow bottle. The whiskey did for him what a bedside table did for normal people. It was always at the head of his mattress, holding what was essential to him in place. It lifted him daily from the same sleep it eventually set him into. Lying there, reflecting on the possible miracle he just experienced, Cyrus asked God to do it again. Confirmation like typing your password in twice to a web browser. Surely if the all-knowing creator of the universe had wanted to reveal themselves to Cyrus, there'd be no ambiguity. Cyrus stared at the ceiling light, which in the fog of his cigarette smoke looked like a watery moon, and waited for it to happen again. But it didn't. Whatever sliver of a flicker he had or hadn't perceived didn't come back. And so lying there in the stuffy haze of relative sobriety, itself a kind of high, amidst the underwear and cans and dried piss and empty orange pill bottles and half-read books held open against the hardwood breaking their spines to face away, Cyrus had a decision to make.
That is a wild read right there.
Yes, yes.
Tell me more.
It's very, a lot of it is very lyrical and poetic like that. So this book is called Martyr. With an exclamation point on the
end. Martyr!
It's by Kaveh Akbar. And apparently this is his first novel, but he has written a lot of poetry, which explain. I did not know that before I read it. And, you know, as I was reading it, I was really impressed with the imagery and, like, the lyrical flow of the prose. It was really, really lovely. Like, you know, explaining how the whiskey was like a bedside table for a normal person. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, like that just paints the picture of who we're talking about right now.
Interesting.
So, and no, Tom Norm, it's not a trap. It's not a trap that it's Akbar.
different kind of Akbar.
Different Akbar, yeah. Altogether.
Sure.
The protagonist there that we heard about was his name Cyrus, and he is a sort of early to mid 20s Iranian immigrant who he was raised in the Midwest. He was born in Tehran and came here as a young child after his mother was killed. Her commercial plane was shot down over Tehran because it was mistaken for a military plane.
Mm.
And, you know, so there was a whole kerfuffle with that. And yeah, this just kind of takes him through his journey. Clearly, as you can hear, he's sort of self-medicating with a lot of drinking and drugs and whatnot. And he's sort of dealing with how to make his way through a world with really no guidance and no, he has really no ties to anyone. But you know, he knows he is an artist and wants to continue making art and how, you know, how does he find his place in the world?
Interesting. So, beautiful story, blew me away. Some of these reviewers are really glowing about it. People like this a lot.
Well, and I'll tell you, the one that got me really, really interested in reading it was John Green. I'll find the review he wrote here, which you guys know I love John Green.
Yeah.
There it is. Okay.
See, cancer free now. Brilliant. He's cancer free, isn't he? Or isn't he?
Well, he always was. His brother Hank had cancer.
Oh, I'm thinking of Hank Green. Never mind.
Yep. Hank is now cancer free. Yes.
Okay, good. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
It was pretty rough.
But John says, a brilliant and blisteringly alive novel about not just how we go on, but also why. Kaveh Akbar's first novel is so stunning, so wrenching, and so beautifully written that reading it for the first time, I kept forgetting to breathe.
Oh, wow.
I will carry this story and the people in it with me for the rest of my life.
Goodness.
So I don't know that it had that big of an impact on me personally, but I did enjoy it and I was very compelled. I really, really wanted to know. And it's written in the third person. It's sort of a third person limited omniscient, and it does jump around a little bit from timeline to timeline and also from character to character. So it gives you some of that generational trauma thing happening where you're like, oh, okay, this is why Cyrus is doing this, is because, you know, he had relatives doing that and whatnot. So one of the most fascinating things is they tell the story of his uncle. And apparently this is a true thing. I did not know that this was a thing that they did. But in anything resembling a holy war for Islam, they will take a soldier, and it is his job to get all dressed in black with a lantern and this, you know, really elaborate sword and a flashlight, you know, and ride out onto the battlefield, because there's in Islam, there's a particular imagery that supposedly you see right before you die. Mm. And it's supposed to be like a comforting thing for all their fallen, you know, their fallen soldiers who are on the field and are about to die. Like, and so that was this character, his uncle did that. Like, that was his job, was to ride out onto battlefields and just be this mythical figure. And so he literally just watched these men die, you know, in their, mm-hmm. in their most vulnerable moments. So yeah, it was, it's not, could you see, it's not depressing. It's actually, it's interesting. I found it, I mean, there are some heavy things in it, but I didn't find it depressing. I found it meaningful and moving, but I kind of felt it, I felt uplifted by it. Mm. But you know, your mileage may vary. So if you're like, oh, I can't deal with anything heavy at all right now, maybe leave this one for another time. Mm. Because, you know, I don't know if you will find it depressing or not. I didn't. I found it heavy, but you know, but also very impactful and moving in a good way.
Nice. Well, that's book number one. Check it out. It is called Martyr with an exclamation point. Martyr! Yes. It's your kids, Martyr!
Martyr!
What else did you bring? What else you got?
Only martyrs in the building.
That's right.
Yes. Only martyrs in the building. All right. So the second book I brought, it's interesting that you brought up cancer, because this was a book that a friend of mine wrote. Is actually, I mean, a friend is too loose a term, like probably an acquaintance, a common friend, I guess, mutual friend with lots of my friends. He's a puppeteer and a puppet builder. Yeah. His name is Adam Krutinger. And so he wrote a book called Puppetry 101, Creating Film and Television Style Puppetry. And I will tell you, I'm a fan of his. I met him this past year at Dragon Con, and he's a really, really nice guy. That's why I kind of was like, hey, friend feels like too familiar a word there, because I just met him. But he is really great. And he has a whole YouTube series also, very similar to, you know, Bill Duran's YouTube series, where he's building stuff. But in this case, he's building puppets. Right. And the book is, it's a very slim volume, so it's really easy to go through. But if you've ever been interested at all in how puppets are created, how, you know, how to operate a puppet, how to do monitor work, how to do any of that, it's great. It's a great little book. And Adam is actually struggling with cancer at the moment. He has a stage 3 brain tumor.
Oh, geez.
So yeah, I know, right? It's so I was like, man, I need to give Adam a little plug here. So those, it's a little bit of an ulterior motive there, but also really good. I like genuinely really good book. It's a really good read. It's very inspiring, honestly. Like, it's kind of like if you read any of Bill's stuff, it makes you want to go make a thing, makes you want to go make a puppet. Mm-hmm.
Sure. No, so, that's great. So is he, this stuff is, this series on YouTube is a thing we should probably promote as well. So not just the book, but where can people get more of his stuff?
So yeah, he is the Puppet Nerd on YouTube. So if you search for Puppet Nerd, you'll find him. And his website is also puppetnerd.com.
YouTube. So, there we go.
I'm going to also add this to quicktms.li.
Great idea.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Look at all this.
So that one's a very, very, very thin volume, but it's not like a huge textbook. It's a, you know, so it's quick read. But
like the lost member of Green Day right here.
A little bit. Yeah. He's got it definitely has like a member of Green Day vibe to him.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Awesome. Yeah. He's really punk rock fun. His videos maker. Are really, really fun. Yeah. And he be, yeah. He does a really good job of making everything accessible. He does content for kids also. And so, you know, he's actually made puppets out of like just a couple ping pong balls and some tape. You know, stuff like that. So, cool. You know, but all the way from that to like really, really complex puppet. In fact, Scott, the puppet that I made for you mm-hmm. was one of his patterns.
Oh, he's right over there. I almost can reach him, but I can't quite. He's right there. Well, that's based on something. I didn't know that. That's cool. Brian's too. Mm-hmm. The first one you got, Brian and I, that set.
No, Brian's actually, this is Annette. If you want to add this link as well, this, projectpuppet.org was the one that I made Brian's puppet from.
Oh,
so because I needed something with a bigger head for you.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, my, you know, mine was big, but Brian.
Yeah, no kidding. I think Scott's head is bigger than mine. He's even said so.
Oh, and I know it is because I've seen you put hats on.
I needed a bigger head for Scott.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I have a fat monster head.
I just have a round head. That's
yeah.
It's yes. a perfect spheroid.
Yeah, you got a perfect round head. Duck, or what does he say? Put your head. What does he say in that movie?
Head pants.
Head.
It's a virtual planetoid. It's got its own orbit.
Been too long since I've seen that. Well, all right then. These are fine recommendations today. Awesome. And as Brian just said, he puts them up on quicktms.li. We put all our little extra stuff from our co-hosts yeah. up there. So please go check that out and read a book, damn it. All right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do that.
Do
read
that.
Read a book.
If you want to listen to them, that's great. If you want to read them, that's cool too. If whatever it is you do.
Book or graphic novel, that's totally
fine. That's also
as well.
Very cool. Exactly.
Audiobooks, that's all. It's all reading. It's all
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
If
read.
Anyone wants to. So yeah, I know a couple days ago you guys mentioned Discworld. And so if anybody needs, like, if they're intimidated or whatever, and you need like a specific recommendation, you know, based on, you know, what I know of you, which one, where should you start
yeah.
on Discworld, then let me know. And I will do that for you. Cause I love it. It's about like getting more people to read Discworld.
I feel like you need to create a BuzzFeed quiz. Which book of Discworld should you start with? It's like, it gives you four. Yeah. Little choices of like, which condiment do you prefer on your sandwich? And then,
right.
That's right.
Like, oh, ketchup or mayonnaise. And like, okay. And which Disney character do you most associate with? And
yeah.
At the end, it mm-hmm. says, start with book five.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. What do you like on your pizza? You like yes. pineapple? Go read something else. I'm kidding.
Hey, I'm with you. I don't like fruit on pizza. I'm with whoever doesn't like that.
You guys are all crazy.
Solid air.
The only thing I like is the secret pizza
in the Cosmopolitan.
Mm.
Honestly, I like the flavor of pineapple on pizza, but I feel like there's so much moisture. There's so much,
yeah.
you know, just water in a pineapple that it's very easy for the crust to get soggy. That's my main objection to pineapple.
That was, when I worked at both Dano's Pizza and Pizza Hotline growing up, owned by the same people. They were my girlfriend's parents, but when we broke up, I moved over to Pizza Hotline. She stayed at Dano's Pizza. But whenever we did pineapple on pizza, we had paper towels by the cold trays, and mm-hmm. we would basically put all the pineapple we were going to use on the pizza between a couple of paper towels, get all the moisture out, and then put them on the pizza.
That sounds like a smart way to do it. There and maybe go. I would like it more if it was a little bit less, you know, wet.
Less wet.
Yeah. I don't want wet pizza. Well, unless
or maybe it's sour. Like Chuck doesn't like pineapple because it's too sour for him. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I loved the freaking beets that we had on pizza in Australia. I was amazed at how well that worked. And that's another sweet, you know, they're pickled beets. And that works so well on pizza that I don't know why I haven't made it over here.
Yeah, pickled anything is good on pizza. I'm with you on that.
I think so, yeah, because your mushrooms, the good mushrooms you put on pizza are pickled.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you don't want to put just dry raw-ass mushrooms on there.
No, those don't work. If you do that, they're like little...
Sautéed in butter or pickled.
Yeah, you need like that, but you pull that, you know, because otherwise a mushroom just kind of tastes kind of chalky.
Yeah, it's dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it turns into jerky, mushroom jerky.
Yeah.
You just use fresh mushrooms.
Ain't nobody signed up for mushroom jerky, I can promise you that.
Right. Ew.
Well, Amy, the pleasure is ours having you on today. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your month, and I look forward to seeing you at the end of this month.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That'll be great.
I'm very, very excited to see you guys.
It'll be awesome. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. All right. If you want to play a little Unreal with her, she'll be playing with us on Friday, I believe.
Cool.
She's usually there. And assuming Dunaway's back, which I'm pretty sure is the case, it'll all work out in the end. A reminder, no show tomorrow. All right. Just making it clear. So nobody sends me messages saying, where's the show? April Fool's is over. Ain't kidding around. It's no show tomorrow.
No show tomorrow.
We got a text about alarms.
You know what? And it's good that we didn't say it on Monday yesterday because people would have thought it was an April Fool's joke. So that's why we waited until today to tell people.
100% that's why it is not because
otherwise they would have thought, oh, it's the joke. They're just joking. Yeah. And then they would have been pissed
at it's us. Not because I forgot at all. It's 100% what Brian said. Nope. Here is a text about alarms. I talked about how my new alarm is this. And I hear that in the morning now when I get up. Well, this guy wrote in, says, alarms to wake up to, check out Navy sweepers and imagine hearing that every morning. And I said, oh, what's that? And I went and looked it up. Brian, here is Navy sweepers. It. All right. If you're in the Navy, you know this. I'm not going to play the whole thing because it's terrible. Here we go.
Oh, that's already enough.
It's horrible.
No way. Thank you.
Yeah. They do some kind of whistle business and, I'd never heard of that before, but that's a thing, and you can wake up to that. So, no. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I'll pass. I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, in the Navy.
Today's my day to sleep in. Yeah.
Really awful.
That's the choice.
And then this text just in, hi, TMS. You all said that Monday was a bank holiday. Well, someone forgot to tell me because there I was listening at the to the show while at my job in a bank. Love the show, though. So was it not a bank holiday? Because I don't
know. Not in the U.S. No, bank holiday in the U.K. yesterday, but not here in the U.S. Okay. Now, still got our mail, still got, I think kids were off from school in a lot of places here. But by the way, should you be listening to our show while you're at your job in a bank?
What if someone robs it?
What if Giancarlo Esposito sneaks in, like does a little Mission Impossible style dangling from the ceiling into the vault? What about that?
Yeah, then what? What will you say then? What? Did you, by the way, I think you shared it originally, but that trailer for that thing, that new thing he's in, that looks great.
Yes, Parrish.
Parrish, yeah.
No. It's going to be another hard one to wait until all the episodes are available to start binging that because... I love me some Giancarlo Esposito. I still say that Kaleidoscope, you bypass the stupid gimmick of watch these in any order. That Netflix thing, it's a decent heist series, a really good heist series, and it's elevated because of the work of Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah, I love him. And also, I think that slowly but surely, every Breaking Bad major character should do a show set in New Orleans. So we got
wouldn't it be great if it's Gus Fring, like it's a the Gus Fring show?
Sure, why not? But we had, the judge or just judge. That was great.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. Yeah. So not character, but actor.
Actor, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you get him in there, get
Cranston.
Pinkman out there or for doing something. I don't know what, but
sure,
something.
Sure.
He could do a little cop thing or
I'm
whatever.
Sure, what's his face? Our guy that we really like.
Stinky Pete.
The guy who's got the the nasal voice and he talks like this. The
Mike Ehrmantraut.
Mike Ehrmantraut.
Yeah, put him in there.
Sure,
get
that
him
guy's
going.
done some New Orleans style movies.
He hasn't, he should. All right. That's what we're saying. Well, there you go. Thank you for that message, that breaking news from our text. We appreciate it. 801-471-0462 is where you can send your voicemails and your texts. We would love you to keep doing that. And also, of course, our email address is themorningstream@gmail.com. There's a site for all of it, frogpants.com/TMS. So write it down, remember it, and use it at your leisure. Brian, we have to leave, but we have to leave with a song. So I can't leave till you leave a song.
I can do that. I can totally do that. Still borrowing from March's request because I don't get started with April ones. I think the earliest one I have is next week. So still mopping up all of the requests that fell on the floor in March. This one came in early in March. Good morning, Sugarless and Sweet Potato. I'm sorry, sugarless sweet potato and banana cream.
Oh.
Nice. I'm banana cream. You're a sugarless sweet potato.
Gross.
Bet you can guess when he wrote this. It's another Pi Day and another anniversary with my beautiful wife. This year, she wrote a book, Healing Notes by Beth Hope, and the paperback is coming out today. Came out on Pi Day last month. I leave it to the cover master to pick something to help us celebrate this new chapter in our lives. Signed, Tom.
Nice.
Well, first off, happy anniversary and congratulations on writing a book and getting that out there. As soon as I saw that that request, I said, it has to be one song. And, well, it could be two. Elvis Costello's Every Day I Write the Book is another good choice. But I'm going with this one. Nick Lowe was in a band for a while called Rockpile. Also included Dave Edmonds, who knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. If you know that song, you probably know the Dave Edmonds version. Sure. This cover of this Rockpile song is by Elizabeth McQueen and the Firebrands from their album Happy Doing What We're Doing. And it just shows that Elizabeth McQueen likes all the same music I do, because every one of my favorite bands was represented on this cover album. Came out in 2005. Here it is, a cover of Rockpile's When I Write the Book.
It was only yesterday. Love was young and foolish, like a little child at play. But oh, how love has changed. I never dreamed how easily. Now I'm just the shadow of the girl I used to be.
Frogpants.com.
Why won't my phone let me email you?
Oh.